For a thought this morning, you can have the mind of Christ. And because we just sung it so beautifully, Word of God Speak, I invite you to ask the Lord to speak through you now in His Word. Every Sunday in 2011, BYOB, bring your own Bible. And this morning, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're in an ongoing conversation with St. Paul about the implications of the wonderful cross of Jesus Christ. And this morning I want us to zero in on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. I hear some pages turning, thank the Lord. Find 1 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Hey, 1 Corinthians, right? I invite you to hear now this reading from God's matchless word. St. Paul wrote, "This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." Now, he's going to make a contrast here. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God because it considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments, for, as the prophet Isaiah said, "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him?" But we have the mind of Christ. I invite you to find the outline for the message this morning and dig in with me to God's Word. I hope you really notice that last complete sentence in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Did you note what St. Paul said? But what? We have the mind of Christ. Notice St. Paul did not say, "But I have the mind of Christ," as though spiritual understanding, spiritual discernment, spiritual power is reserved only for a few chosen, holy people. St. Paul is very specific in his language when he says, what? But we have the mind of Christ. I want to stop there this morning and ask you a very profound question. Do you feel that you have the mind of Christ? Interesting, the Greek word for mind literally means an organ of the body that has the capacity to think after God's own thinking, to process spiritual reality as a precursor to acting. Now, some of you have the disease that I have. I got wired backwards. Sometimes my mouth engages before my brain does. St. Paul is saying that there is the very real promise of God that your brain, inspired by the Spirit of God, can think godly thoughts and act godly ways so that your life will have real meaning and peace and purpose. I wonder, do you have the mind of Christ? Maybe the more important question to ask today is this: do you desire to have the mind of Christ? It's the promise of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. And I'd like to encourage you this morning from God's Word that together we claim this gift of God, the mind of Christ. Now, I like this interpretive thought from the Life Application Bible Commentary. No one can completely comprehend God, but through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, believers can understand spiritual truths. Believers have insight into some, not all, but believers have insight into some of God's plans, thoughts, and actions. Why? Because with the Spirit within, they have access to the mind of Christ. Now, notice especially these words that I have highlighted. Through the Holy Spirit, believers can begin to know, that's a word of certainty, can begin to know God's thoughts, actually talk with Him, and expect answers to their prayers. I'm really discouraged by people who say to me something like, well, preacher, I don't know how to read the Bible. It's all confusing to me. Preacher, I've tried, but it just doesn't make any sense. But that's all right, because that's what we pay you for. No, that's not enough. That's not why you pay me. You don't pay me to tell you what the Word of God says. You pay me to equip you that you might understand and process and act in your own life upon what the Word of God speaks to you. Now, I find it great fun to compare different translations of the same text, because as we've discovered in our time together, the language of the Bible, Hebrew and Greek, is much richer than the curt, dry English language. And in comparing translations, we see colors and facets of the ancient language. This morning, I want to compare what we've read in the New International Version 2010 with Eugene Peterson's very compelling paraphrase of this passage found in the Message, the Bible in Contemporary Language. And I printed it here for you as an interpretation, I think accurately, of what St. Paul is saying to us. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you, yourself? The same with God, except that He not only knows what He's thinking, but get this, but He lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that He is giving us. We don't rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand, personal way. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There is no capacity for them. They seem like such silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what He is doing? Has been answered. Christ knows, and if you're a believer, if you're Spirit-filled, if you are pursuing a life in Christ, Christ gives us His Spirit. Do you desire the Spirit of God? I do. And I want to encourage you in that Spirit today. Dr. John MacArthur is a favorite commentator of mine. He writes an interesting combination of a technical commentary as well as a pastoral commentary. A technical commentary is one that digs deeply into the Greek construction and the Greek words, but at the same time amplifies it for practical application. Dr. MacArthur writes, "As Christians, however, God instructs us." I want you to hear these words of encouragement. "We are able to understand all things of His Word because we have the mind of Christ. Christ thinks God's thoughts, understands God's wisdom. We have His mind." The term is translated understanding. The Greek word mind can also be translated understanding. Its usage here may best be understood from its use in Luke 24:45. Of Jesus' revelation to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. What did He say? What did Luke say? Then He, Jesus, opened their minds. to understand the Scriptures. The doctrine of illumination does not mean we can know and understand everything that we do not need human teachers, or study is not hard work. It does mean that Scripture can be understood by every Christian who is diligent and obedient. My job ultimately is not to tell you the mind of Christ. My job ultimately is not to tell you how to think the mind of Christ. My job, if I am being faithful to my calling, is to equip you. You are worthy of the mind of Christ. You have been purchased by the blood of the cross. You are dignified by the compelling mind of Christ in your life. And if you are willing to follow God's plan, you can operate out of a sense of spiritual security and spiritual certainty. Can you say, I have the mind of Christ? If that's your desire today, I'd like for you to notice four things on your outline. How you and I both can discern and develop and deploy the mind of Christ in our lives. First of all, if you want to have the mind of Christ, it begins with commanding Scripture. Now, this particular part of the outline I have drawn from the Alpha Course. I hope when you came in today that you received a little brochure about the Alpha Course. And I think some of you have been a part of the Alpha Course so far in our church. Anybody here a graduate of the 10-week Alpha Course? It is the singularly most practical spiritual course I've ever been a part of. And we are launching it the last Sunday of this month during the Sunday school hour. 10 weeks that'll really change your life. And here's an example of the kind of practical teaching that is offered in the Alpha Course. Commanding Scripture. God's general will, notice I highlighted general will, is revealed in Scripture. He will not lead us to do anything contrary to Scripture. He gives us general instruction on such things as marriage, work, money, children, relatives, relationships. Practical instruction. St. Paul interprets this for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Would you move very quickly from 1 Corinthians 2 to 2 Timothy 3? Because I want you to have these two verses underlined. They really give us a spiritual insight as to the purpose of the written Word of God. St. Paul is speaking to his young minister, St. Timothy, and writes these words. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, you may have a translation that says all Scripture is inspired. That's okay. It's a good word. But the literal word is two Greek words put together. God-breathed. Do you sense the overture of God's Holy Spirit? God, His very essence, brooding over the darkness of our lives and bringing it to light. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for, note these things, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I believe the Bible speaks clearly to us general principles for life. But here's the challenge. How do we take the general principles of the Word of God and apply them to the particular needs of our lives? How do we take truth and apply it in such a way that it guides us, that it shapes us, that it forms us into the holy people that God expects of us? Well, before we go on, I want to ask a couple of questions that really set the stage. Before God's Word can really matter to you, before God's Word can really be the source of truth and guidance and hope for your life, you've got to belong to Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question that I do not assume ever. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you have a settled and secure relationship with Jesus? Do you know that you are born again? Do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that God's Holy Spirit is living in you, and that you are on a mission beyond your own petty selfishness? You know, I still think that's the greatest truth of life, to know that you're blood-bought and Spirit-empowered and on a mission. And if there's any question in your mind, would you allow me the awesome privilege of sharing with you privately, with a word of encouragement about how you can become a born-again believer? May I confess to you that I've gone to church all of my life? I've gone to church 46 years plus 9 months. Get it? I was late to be delivered, and I've been late ever since. I've never known a moment in my life when the Lord was not my shepherd, but it was not until I was a college freshman that a real relationship of trust, a real relationship of being born again really happened for me. I'm a late bloomer. Hey, so calling all late bloomers, I'd be honored to share with you how you can know for sure. Then the second question, as it relates to God's Word, are you spending enough time? Hey, are you spending any time with Christ to have His mind in you? An intimate relationship with Christ comes only from spending time consistently in His presence and consistently in His Word. If you want the settled security of having the mind of Christ, it begins with commanding Scripture that comes alive when you have a personal relationship with Christ, when you have invited the Holy Spirit to become your guide for life. But because God speaks in general terms, we need help in particular terms. How do we apply God's truth? So secondly, on your outline, I want you to notice the compelling Spirit. What does that mean? The Bible assures us in John chapter 10 that Jesus knows His sheep. But better than that, His sheep recognize His voice. Let me stop and ask this question. Do you actually expect to hear from the Lord? I am amazed at the number of people that look blank at me when I ask that question. I ask Him to speak to me. I am desiring His compelling Spirit to come not only into my life, but actually guide my life. I believe that Jesus knows you by name. I believe you are worthy to hear His voice. And I believe that He actually does want to intervene in the events of your life. Here are some ways from God's Word that God speaks to us. First of all, in an intimate time of prayer. And remember, to pray does not mean to speak. To pray in the Greek of the New Testament means to seek. To seek. An example of this. Paul, Barnabas, and Saul were praying together in Acts chapter 13, and God spoke and gave direction. God speaks to me by great thoughts that He places in my minds and a strong impression to act. John Wesley, our own John Wesley, spiritual father for Methodists, said that the most common way God guided him was to present His mind reasons for acting in a particular way. Hey, if you want to have the mind of Christ, get connected with Jesus and allow His Word to deeply enter into your heart. But then spend time with Him. I don't know how else to encourage you to do that. Think of your best friend. Do you look forward to being with your best friend and spending time with him or her? Some of you are going to spend time with best friends tonight, right? Right? Now, when you're with a best friend, does time drag or does time fly? I didn't say with your husband or wife. I mean with your friend. Oh, does time drag or fly? You know what I've discovered in my life? especially on Wednesday morning, because I have a hard schedule on Wednesday morning. I mean, I have to be here at a particular time. I find myself needing to get up earlier on Wednesdays than ever before, because when I'm really in tune with the Spirit of God, when I am really in communication with the risen Lord, the time gets away from me. God promises through His compelling Spirit to be so intimately connected with you if you will give Him the space to do it. To take His general will and communicate in a particular way how you can live a life that is worthy of the Lord. On the backside, here are other examples of the way God speaks, sometimes in unusual ways: prophecy, dreams, visions, angels. Hey, Samuel heard an audible voice of God. I haven't yet, but I don't rule it out. Would you dare to ask God to actually speak to you? I mean, speak to you. It's in the Bible. But as we are learning the mind of Christ, we need to keep a couple of questions always in mind, because God is never going to ask us to do something that is contrary to Scripture. Is what God is speaking to you strengthening, encouraging, and comforting for your life and for those around you? Is what God is speaking to you bring comfort and peace to other people? Would you look with me quickly at Philippians chapter 2? Now, you've been in 1 Corinthians, then you went to 2 Timothy, so split the difference, and you'll just about find Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, God, through St. Paul, talks about our maturing as believers as a continual process. And St. Paul says, beginning in verse 12, part B, continue, he says, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, now notice, to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. God does want to speak to you specifically about how to think and act in a way that brings Him honor and brings real value to your life. Well, thirdly, there's a progression here. Commanding Scripture and a compelling Spirit. Then thirdly, common sense. Hey, have you thought about that as a spiritual gift? Common sense. Dr. John R.W. Stott is one of the great Anglican theologians of the 20th century, one of the greatest preachers the Church of England produced in the second half of the 20th century. And I like the way Dr. Stott says, God's promises of guidance were not given to save us the problem of thinking. God expects for us to take His principles and think them through, allow them to take deep root in our lives and act on them. And in 2 Timothy 2, back in 2 Timothy, St. Paul says to his young protege, Timothy, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give insight into all this. Reflect. Time. Ponder. Engage your brain under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. How do we develop the mind of Christ? Commanding Scripture and His compelling Spirit, engaging our common sense. But the last part really is absolutely essential. It brings the circle to completion. You and I desperately need each other. We desperately need the counsel of Christian saints. Now hear me, the definition of a saint is not a person whose hair has turned gray or whose hair has turned loose. It really has nothing to do with chronological age. It has everything to do with spiritual age. And I'm finally at the time in my life where some of my greatest spiritual guides are younger than I am. I think of a dear friend of mine that I mentored as his pastor, and now he's a senior minister of one of the fastest growing churches in the North Georgia Annual Conference. I read David's blog I look to see what David is doing. We desperately need each other. The definition of a saint, by the way, is a person through whom the light of Christ shines. That's it. No age required. It's a person whose life is transparent and clear from the sin that so often besets us, the sin that sets us as captives and becomes a clear pane of glass through which the bright light of the Holy Spirit of God can shine. Decisions ultimately are our responsibility. Therefore, we need desperately to consult godly Christians. Now note what I've written here. This is really important. This is Alpha speaking here. Be careful not just to choose people on the basis of agreement. It's easy to surround ourselves with yes men and women, isn't it? People that we know are always going to agree with. Just bobble their head up and down. No, we desperately need people chosen based on spiritual authority. King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, could have really been full of himself, right? I'm the wisest man that ever lived. I'm king. You do what I say. No, the definition of a really wise person is this: plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. I want you to be encouraged today. I want your life to be dignified today. It is possible that you, from this moment forward, can possess the mind of Christ. You're worthy. You're capable. It's your gift for the asking. Will you, as a believer, commit yourself to commanding Scripture and actually spend time in God's Word? If you've never done that, begin with 1 John in the back of your New Testament and just read it through. A few verses a day, read it through. You'll get the love of Jesus Christ poured out on you. Are you willing to consult the Spirit of God and say, Holy Spirit, come and change my thinking process. Live in my thinking process as a precursor to my acting. Will you engage your brain and believe that you have enough common sense that you can apply God's Word? You can do it. But always surround yourself with a few saints that are ahead of you in Christian maturity and consult them. Allow them to encourage you on the journey. Hey, St. Paul did not say, but I have the mind of Christ. No, no. What did St. Paul say? But we have the mind of Christ. Hey, won't you seize it and claim it? By faith, it is a choice that you can make to have the mind of Christ. We prepare this morning to be fed by the very Spirit of God in the sacrament of Holy Communion, and I invite you to find the liturgy for the service in your worship folder. And because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I can say to you with great joy, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth and you had formed the earth from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You created light out of the darkness and brought forth life in the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. In his baptism and in table fellowship, he took place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. In the breaking of the bread, we are reminded in a graphic way of God's commitment to us in Jesus Christ. For indeed, his body was pierced for us. Indeed, his blood was shed for us. The prophet Isaiah foretold the coming of the suffering servant when he wrote, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him." But then what's this promise that he makes? "And by his stripes we are healed." In the breaking of the bread, in the sharing of the cup, my prayer is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that your healing miracle would begin today and echo forever into eternity. St. Paul said, "Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah." I invite you to join me in this ancient hymn of praise as together we say, "O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace." And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding that is offered at this holy table today. You're invited to come by the central aisle and receive, if you would, just a small dollop of hand sanitizers, since we do share in dipping from a common cup together. And then come in the posture of one seeking the mind of Christ and simply open your hand. Allow me to offer to you the body of Christ, and then ever so reverently dip it into the chalice. And believe with me through faith, through the grace of God, that truly this is the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation given for you. You're invited to come to the table of the Lord now. I invite you to join me in the prayer of thankful dedication as together we pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What will your response be to God's word today? Was it just me standing here telling you what God's word says? Or are you willing to actually internalize the hope that you can have the mind of Christ in you? You can actually be a center of supernatural power. I'd like to invite you to find your connection card. And I hope you've taken a moment to fill out the front side, because I'd simply like to know you're here, especially if you're our guest. But on the back side is an opportunity for you to say, I want to claim God's promise. 1 Corinthians 2, 16b. But we have the mind of Christ. Hey, I'd like to challenge you to personalize it. But I have the mind of Christ. If you're struggling to know if you have a solid relationship with the Lord, check that box about beginning a relationship with Jesus. I'd be so honored to talk with you about that. We're hosting Java with John on February the 23rd, an opportunity for you to know more about the life of this church, because I'd really be honored to be your pastor. The bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me. Maybe a struggle that you have about really living into the mind of Christ. Tuesday is the day that I set aside to pray as an intercessor for the members of this great church, and I would be honored to take your need before the cross. As you're taking a moment to complete your connection card, I also invite you to prepare your morning offering. It is the free will offering of God's people, putting Christ first, that enables the ministry of this church. We had a great year in 2010 because you were faithful. Thank you. God has great plans for us in 2011, and every gift matters. As you hear the music playing, as you continue to sing the words of the angels, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, I invite you to offer your connection card and your offering as the baskets pass by.
I invite you to remain standing for our benediction. As we prepare now ourselves to go out into a hurting world, I challenge you now to go to share the love and grace of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ we go. Amen. And have a great morning.